The Six Pointer Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Six Pointer Podcast, the pre-season special.
Pre-season preview? No, pre-season special. I like that one. Yeah, special.
Let's go with a special. Yeah. Special. 24-25 season. We are here in the Dolphin in Sydenham.
SC26.
Couple of Guinnesses, some rascal crisps. What are these ones? Pheasant or whatever you
want. Pheasant and mushroom. So they didn't have pretty sorted, but they had wild duck and pheasant. So yeah, you can tell you're in a high market pub when you can't get ready sorted but you can get pheasant and duck crisps, but that's actually quite nice.
To be fair, it's a nice pub. There's a water feature here that means my, you know, I need to go to the toilet every 15 minutes. But yeah, that's a Six Pointer Podcast t-shirt for anyone who can name a posher packet of crisps.
I won't tell you the price.
No, best not to. But yeah, we're here to talk about all things 24-25 prep. Seems a long time we've done a podcast. It was the last one with Kevin Orpington. It was, wasn't it? I think we looked at the.
Yeah, might be right.
Looked back. So we looked back. Now we're gonna look forward. So it's come around. I feel it's taken a long time to come around. I guess because of the Euros and Olympics and everything in between. But
it's been a summer of a lot of football, hasn't it? So I don't really feel like. Well, personally, I don't really feel like I've been without football for a long period of time.
But Palace, remember that Palace?
Yeah, and that's why perhaps I took a little bit more interest in some of the pre-season games. And let's not forget, Palace are the stateside cup champions. That trophy will sit nicely next to the ZZS trophy in the cabinet at Sellers Park in the main stand, if it doesn't get knocked down.
That's a good point, actually. Any listeners who are doing the stadium tour, tell us if they've seen the stateside cup there. Because when we did it, the last trophy was what, the playoff trophy?
Probably, yeah.
2012? Mm-hmm. So, the first trophy in 12 years. Have you seen it? Is it there? Does it exist?
Can you touch it? What does it smell like?
Is it in the cabinet?
Oh, okay. What does the glass smell like? Is it Windleen or is it like own brand Lidl's? What am I like?
Have they given it a shine recently? Yeah.
That's a good question. What she said.
But, yeah, as you say, Palace have been busy in the summer with, well, a trip to the States,
yep.
And then quite a few sort of friendlies as well. It started quite early, didn't it? Have we had the Jeff Hughes testimonial yet?
That's happened, a big one. Yeah. Don't know the score, but Jeff Hughes, obviously Palace legend. So
I've got a picture with him.
Have you?
Yeah.
Why?
In Debenhams in Croydon, Palace of the Fing.
Oh, because that must have been
Peter Taylor, Clinton Morrison,
2006, 2007.
John Macken,
bloody hell.
Yeah, good times, mate.
As well as those.
We drove there in my turquoise Volkswagen Polo.
Did we really?
Finished work early, especially. We've had quite a few pre-season games, and actually, we've had some behind closed doors.
Apparently,
they say,
so. Yeah.
Was it Bournemouth?
Bournemouth. Apparently, we lost. Nobody knows officially, but Bournemouth and another one, I think. But yeah, Palace TV, I think, has been quite good in terms of obviously showing these games live for those that did want to stay up till like 1 o'clock in the morning to watch them in America, but the highlights match has been very good, and all the post-match interviews giving people that Palace fix over the summer. Well worth the investment if you can afford it.
And looking at, you know, who's got a run out, it's been interesting in terms of there's been a mixture of not so much formations but like approaches and people have got to go, haven't they? Like, yeah. The second half of the Wolves game, I think I'm right in saying that pretty much most of the team,
Dancers.
The whole team changed, and yeah, the majority were youngs. I think Jordan Ayew might have played with them, and Henderson stayed on, but I think the rest of the team was, and they scored a very good goal as well, two-goal goals, I remember, right? So it bodes well, doesn't it, in the fact that there are people who are clearly there or thereabouts and getting first in action.
It's also, look, I mean, we have this, I think, every season where you see the kids, and it's nice, I think, for Palace fans to see kids play amongst first team players, you know, if they come in the sub, and you can see a bit more about them, albeit it's pre season, so the games aren't entirely competitive, but it's nice to see them in the flesh anyway and see them get a run out. And obviously, you know, there may be an opportunity for one or two of these players that if they do impress, they can force their way into Oliver Glasner's thinking for the new season. I think, is it Franco Uma, I think the left back or left wing back has impressed quite a bit. So, you know, there's those sort of players that potentially, I don't think they'd stop Palace going to the transfer market, but they give us another option if they weren't to go out on loan, which I personally, I think that's probably most of it as well, is getting them fitness, getting them in the shop window for Palace to send them out on loan. You know, we've seen Whitworth, Ozo, and a few others go out on loan, haven't we? To get game time at a decent level, which is what we need. And hopefully, you know, they get that experience and come back better players for Crystal Palace. Or if not, you know, part of the academy and part of the, you know, Crystal Palace's model is to sort of build these players to a certain level and sell them on and make some money. So I think we're all a bit romantic and we all want to see them in a Palace shirt. But if not, you know, it's a good system for Palace.
So we've had a bit of comings and goings over the summer. Obviously, we had the players out of contract, like Giroud, like Tompkins. And we've had a few interesting movements in the respect of obviously Elise. Yeah, we said one of the big players at least, yeah, didn't we? And we're hoping it's just the one as sort of the summer sort of rumbles on with transfer debate and is he going, is he not going? But what do you make of the summer activity? We're both sort of outs and ins.
Well, I mean, aside of Elise, I don't think Palace have lost any at the moment, as we're recording on a Tuesday afternoon, have lost any sort of key players aside Elise. You know, there's obviously a lot of rumours and talk at the moment about Mark Gay, Newcastle coming back in, but it was nice to see Steve Parish speak to Sky Sports News earlier today and talk about, you know, if you want one of these superstar players, you have to pay superstar money. And I don't think that the figure that's been touted of $55 million is enough to have Mark Gay leave the club. So, but you know, look, obviously Elise is a big loss. I think there was part of me that was expecting him to go, whether it was this season or in January. But yeah, I'm pleased that he went to Munich. Obviously, Champions League football. We haven't got to see him play against us just yet, which is quite nice. You know, next season, obviously, when we're playing in the Champions League, we'll come up against him. But but no, I mean, I think in terms of the players that have come in, bruv, Dimitri Kamada, looks like a very industrial sort of midfielder. Nice that he's taken James McArthur's number as well, which bodes well for me. I like the look of him. He looks like a hard-working sort of box-to-box player that can sort of sit behind or in the middle there.
He's got a nice pass in him. I watched bits of the game on the weekend against Nantes, and he's definitely got some assists in him, and I also think a few goals. He gets into the box very quick in passing. Him and Ezra together are really, really good. Really, really good. He's a really good signing. And obviously, from Glad's perspective, he's a known quantity as well. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And obviously played at a decent level at Lazio as well last season. Who else is coming, bruv? We've had Chaddy Riyad,
who I think will get more than we expected game wise. Because he looks very, very good on the weekend, and I think the other game I saw him against. Yeah, anyway, he looks very, very good, very mobile, good pass on him as well.
And he's taken Martin Kelly's number, so expecting a lot of sly tackles from him.
And goals against Tottenham.
And goals against Tottenham at White Hart Lane. Yeah. Cool. Who else we had?
Well, incomings.
Mm. That was it, wasn't it? Well, to check transfer market whilst we're live.
Well, they're the big ones, aren't they? I mean, there is still talk of Will Jordan and you going on the strike, guys.
Of course, our new number 7, who has taken Michael Elise's number, is Mael Sarr, a player that Palace have been linked with for what feels like 10 years.
So I thought we signed him 10 years ago, but that's why I didn't mention him.
Well, going into David Nugent territory here, aren't we? But
in the car park in Sainsbury's.
Yeah, a player that I've always admired. I've always thought he looked very Palace. You know, he's a very quick player. I don't think he's got the same sort of skill set as Michael Elise, but certainly someone, if we're going to be playing with these wide players, you know, someone who can get down the wing, hopefully get a lot of crosses in to JP, who is, well, given the Olympics, there ain't no striker better than Jean-Claude Mateta at the moment.
I think you're right. He will get in the box. Very quick, forward progressing. Definitely kind of fits the model, as they say in inverted commas,
yeah,
of Dougie. And it was nice when he mentioned kind of at last I've signed, you know, I've been sort of in discussion with you a number of times, blah blah blah. So I'm pleased, mate. I'm pleased, you know. What's the outlay on all of them together? £20 million, something like that, you know? It's not much, much sort of north of that, is it? And so we got what for Elise in the end? 60?
It was 55, 60, something like that, yeah.
So you know, what's plus £20 million, I'm expecting Gay to go, I'll be honest with you. I think there's enough behind it. I think, like you said, Paris spoke today, and it sounded like, to me, the second question was, have you spoken to him?
You know, no, he didn't answer the question, did he?
He didn't, did he? But he said, in a roundabout way, my take of anyway, is that they have had discussions with him. He's probably said, look, if a bigger club comes in, I'd like to talk to them. If someone can help me come in and progress my career, I'm interested in it. But I'm not going to force a move. I'm not going to be an idiot about it. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Because he's got a contract at Palace for, what, 2 years? So he knows that in 2 years' time, well, actually this time next year, he can be negotiating. And is it 18 months before the end?
No, I think it's 6 or 9 months before.
Right.
It might be more for European.
European starts before, doesn't it?
It might be, but
either way.
And a lot of Palace have been linked with, I think, Lacroix, which is a...
Oh, say that again?
Lacroix. He's a player, I think he plays for Wolfsburg.
Again,
one of these players that Palace have been linked with for a while, and I'd like Sarr, you know, it's this model at Palace that, you know, Dougie or the team sort of scout them for a long period of time, hence why Palace are linked with them for a long period of time, and eventually we'll get their man, a man. But look, also outgoing Scott Banks, obviously, who came in and had a, was it Aberdeen last year or a year before last? He went to St Pauli, and I think he's... they went to St Pauli last year, and that's been made permanent as well. So hope he does well. Jara Riederwald, who has been around for about 20 years, it feels like one of Frank de Boer's signings, has finally left. I think he's gone to Antwerp on a free. Malcolm Aboué has gone to Oxford at the Championships, which is a good level for
that'll
him.
That would be good for him. That would be a really good opportunity for him. Yeah.
I mean, given someone who obviously was Derby, I think that he was at, wasn't it? And he did really, he was rated very highly there. Obviously, he hasn't had the game time at Palace, so hopefully he can get game time at a decent level there. Joe Whitworth's gone to Exeter, which is excellent for us, I think. Yeah, I think he did very well as well. David Ozo's gone to Derby, so again, going to the Championship. And this is nice. What I like to see as well is that these players are going to a very good level of football. And also, it means that for Palace fans who want to, they can follow them and actually see their performances, which is good. And obviously, we saw Nathan Ferguson and James Tompkins go out of free as well. So, good luck to them. Hopefully, they can pick up new clubs or coaching roles, as it were.
I think Hamada needs to go on loan. I think if he's going to have a career at Palace, I think he needs to go on loan. and I fully expect it to happen. Rakitić's obviously another one, and there's been lots of dialogue about, you know, Southampton offered... Didn't they offer to buy him?
£12 million, yeah. And there are rumours as well that Jez would prefer a permanent move rather than go out on loan. But
you can understand, can't you?
Yeah, I can, but I think Palace, obviously, you know, obviously had that successful season at Charlton. For whatever reason, he wasn't allowed out last season. I think we had some injuries, didn't we, at the start of the season. So
he did as well, didn't he?
Yeah, it's a need to be kept in. And I think the Championship now is the level where Palace wants to see him test himself, and if he does well then he can fit into that first team role. But goes back to what I was saying earlier, you know, Palace always want to see these academy players come through and play for the club. But if not, if they can sell him and get a decent amount for him, I wouldn't like to see him play in the Premier League against us. I think that's, you know, that's got a disaster written all over it, hasn't it?
Do you see anyone else coming in? What, is there 2 weeks to go?
Yeah, I think 30th of August is the window closing, slamming shut with Jim White's yellow tie. Yeah, I think, to be honest with you, I think we need another striker. I mean, we've got JP and Edouard, but
between Jordan and guy, that's the rumour.
Yeah, Leicester and Saudi as well are linked with him. I'd be gutted to lose him, but if the rumours are true and, you know, £10 million for him, that'll be a very good deal for Palace. Albeit, I don't know, you can place that sort of sort of foul winning and also that quality which he's got. He's not a goal scorer as much, but that quality in the ball he's got is something which will be very hard to replace, I think.
I saw that written the other day somewhere that, oh yeah, it'd be great to get £10 million for him. It would, but then you've got to replace him.
Yeah.
So unless we've got some upgrade lined up and you're taking a chance on someone late in the window, it would seem a strange move to make. And I know people say, oh yeah, you know, he needs to go, blah blah blah. I don't think he does need to go. I think he's still got a lot of value to add the fact that he carries the ball, the fact that he wins fouls high up in the opposition half, he's worth a point or two for Palace across the season for that alone, regardless of his goals and assists.
Yeah, certainly, but I think, you know, a move to Saudi would make sense. You know, yeah. I know he's a very religious bloke, and
for him, yes, for the club.
So, I think if Palace can get the money for him, and for him at his age, what is he, 30, 31 years old, one last big payday, you know, he can go and get a lot of money. I think everyone at Palace will wish him well. He's, you know, pound for pound up there with James McArthur, has been one of Palace's best ever signings, I think, value wise. But yeah, for me, bruv, I think with all this talk about Eddie as well, maybe going out somewhere, even if Eddie stays, I still think we need a striker. I really do. I think that going into a Premier League season with JP and Edouard as your two strikers, I think is a bit silly, because JP is clearly the main man now, and Edouard's the backup. But you know, if you've got an injury, and you know you're having to start Eddie, what's your option to change it? You know, you're sort of going in, looking into the academy lads to make a huge step up there. So I think we need another striker. I do think Sam Johnson will go as well. I think he's a player that excellent quality, needs to be playing first team football. So there might be a goalkeeper need to come in to fill that void as well.
Who would we bring in from a striker perspective?
No idea.
This is the thing, because like normally there's been some sort of link, but I can't think of any link of credible stature that we can refer to there. That's an interesting one, actually. If any listeners have got any ideas of who we might be linking with, because if you thought it would be someone who's like, you know, up and coming, you thought they'd been brought in by now and there'd been moves made. If it was a big marquee signing, again, it would happen by now, and it wouldn't be linked to Jordan or Edouard going out. It would be linked to Palace strategically progressing as a club. So that's an interesting one. If any listeners have got thoughts on that one, we'd love to hear.
But in terms of rumours, bruv, there's been lots of them. We're in, as I call it, silly season. You know, there's not much football going on at the moment up until Saturday, obviously, or Friday night, I think, when the Premier League kicks off. So journalists are desperately trying to fill column inches. Wilfried Zaha is the latest rumour on loan. I mean, there's been us and Leicester linked with him. How would you feel about Wilf coming back to Palace? I'll ask for your opinion first of all, if you mind.
Why not? I see why not. I mean, so we would have offered him a lot of money to stay before he left. He then left. If we fast forward 12 months and he's coming back, and we're still paying that lot of money, what have we lost? Where's the negative in it? He's played in the Champions League for a season. He's had experience of playing in another league. Okay, he's a year older. But imagine last year with a combination of Eze, Elise and Wilf. It's the combination we had the year before that we never really got to see come to fruition. In the absence of Elise, with Sarr coming through, with Rakitić still there, and with Eze hopefully still there, why not? I know that people will say, oh, it's a lot of money for wages and so on and so forth, but if that is the difference that we can make to the team, surely you take it.
For me, I mean, there's two schools of thought in my mind. I'm a bit split here, because the romantic in me wants to see Bill play Palace, obviously, you know. Palace is a Palace legend, arguably a great ever player. I'd want to see him get to 100 goals at Selhurst Park, do that Clinton Morrison-esque run against QPR and run to the main stand and celebrate with his family. But I also think that we've developed and progressed as a club, and I don't see the Palace model paying, okay, they say a range of 130 to 170 £1,000 a week.
But they offered him a bruv. This is the thing.
Well,
offered him it. Money.
It's but that, was that pre-Glasnow? Was that pre this sort of thing? That's what I mean. Like, so have we moved on in that period of time to this different thing?
Do you think the model has changed since then?
I think it has. Okay. I think certainly the style of football has played has changed, hasn't it? And I would want him to start every game. I don't know that he would. Then there's the whole thinking about, oh, if you're paying someone that much, shouldn't they be starting? Is that right? There's the thinking also around, you know, some things are left in the past, but in the past, you know, how many times has a player come back, apart from Wilf, obviously, the first time, and actually made that much of a difference. But I'm also there's a thing in the back of my head, is that we're a very young squad. So a bit of experience in Wolverhampton, and someone who has been proven to be a leader in the past, has worn my armband, might do really well at Crystal Palace. And maybe that's my heart overruling my head here, but I'd love to see him back at Palace, but I really would.
The other thing is, how people feel if he was to turn up at Leicester and he plays against us. Like, that would be grim, wouldn't it? Come on, that would be horrible. I wouldn't want to see that. I'd much rather we do something. I'm going to eat this piece of crisps.
No, eat a 12-pound crisps. And crisps.
I'd much rather see him play for us than anyone else. And I know they're worried about the money, but in the absence of buying anyone else, do it, mate.
Yeah.
Get a checkbook out.
Yeah, it would be an interesting one to see how things develop. But yeah, I mean, look, exciting times for Crystal Palace that we're now linked with a player that's on that sort of stature of wages. You know, it's someone obviously that only came back to Palace because obviously the issues of Man United and loans at Cardiff didn't work previously, and it was a chance for him to come home and develop his career. There's also the thing to consider around, would he want to? You know, there's a bit, maybe there's an issue of pride there and things like that, but
that's interesting because I've seen him talk on various podcasts and things about, you know, why it was the right thing to do to leave Palace and what he wants to do and proving people right and so on and so forth. And you're right, there's an element of, will he come back because he's going back to, well, he's been there, done it, he's proved he can do that.
Yeah.
Does he need to go somewhere else and do it? I don't know. It depends on how stuck in his ways he is, but how sort of stern he is on sticking to those commitments and what he said before and people calling him out on it. I don't know. But I'd take him back in a heartbeat, bruv. Not because I didn't want to see him play somewhere else, that is a dynamic, but because I think he would be a good signing for us on a loan basis. And to our point a minute ago about attacking threat, we could do a supplement to that, and he would certainly do that.
Yeah, certainly.
Right, let's end it there. That's part one. Part two, we're going to talk about the season itself, which starts next Sunday away at Brentford.
This Sunday.
That's what I mean.
All right.
Anyway,
Sunday.
Keep it 6-pointer. <Du-du-du-du-du-du-du-du. laughs> Hello and welcome back to part two of the 6-pointer podcast. Okay. What do we call this? Pre-season preview? No.
Pre-season pod.
Pre-season pod, that's it. Minus Kev.
Big up Kev.
And big up Kev's mum.
Kev's mum.
Second part. We are in the Alfred with proper Guinness. Just to make our listeners aware, a pint of Guinness has less calories than a pint of orange juice. So.
Well, advertisement. Yeah, on there. So,
fact check that.
Definitely.
Before you make a dietary choice. But in all seriousness, part two is about looking ahead to the 24-25 season. And this is where you make your money, right? This is where we're going to give you the predictions that are going to make people millionaires. Who's going to score a goal in the 11th to the 15th minute on the third game of the season in the Carabao Cup? We're gonna have a little look at what we think might happen in the coming season. I mean, look, bruv, we're not Mystic Meg, for those listeners who remember her. But I guess we are Palace fans, avid Palace fans, and we've seen Palace over the years and seen what they can do with the teams they've got to work with. In general, bruv, what do you think this year has in store? I mean, Glasner's obviously had a few months now. In respect of working with the players, he's also had the end of last season, the 3 months or so he had after taking over Sir Roy. What do you think this means for us? What will this season mean for Palace?
I'll preface this by saying that we are pre-30th of August, so everything can change obviously before the transfer window closes. But for me, this has to be about progression for Palace. This has to be about pushing on and you know, Paris talked end of two seasons ago about taking this club to the next level. In terms of what that means, you know, obviously we've been a club that has been comfortable for the last 10 years, finishing sort of trying to finish in the top half where we can be. So progression has to be, you know, pushing for a Europa Conference League spot or Europa League spot, hasn't it? I mean, that's on the outskirts of that has to be seen as the next step, the next level. So personally, I think we need more attacking threat to do that, and hopefully keep hold of our better players as well. But yeah, that's where the eternal optimist to me would like to see Palace finish in eighth position and qualifying for the Europa Conference League, and me and you, bruv, going to Belarus on a Tuesday night next year, and you know, having those nights out and playing these teams from random places and having a few beers and having a £2 hot dog and a questionable meat pie and, you know, a 16p pint of beer somewhere. You know, That would be the ideal scenario, wouldn't it? I mean, that would be the pinnacle of being
like a dream you've had.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I've had many dreams.
Sounds like I was in Bulgaria, actually.
Boggy.
Right, Palace bit.
Yeah, but
in all seriousness, that would be fantastic, wouldn't it?
To experience.
To have the experience of that, and you know, that can come with. Does that come with a league position, or does that come with winning a trophy?
Well, no, I think you'd have to finish seventh or eighth position, depending on how. Clubs in Europe in the Premier League perform. Obviously the teams drop down a little bit more, or the places drop down a little bit more in that sense, but I think given that Glasner's European pedigree, this is why they hired the bloke, you know, that they want to take the club to the next level, they want to get Palace into Europe. I mean, personally, I think we need to show a bit more spending power in the transfer market for that to make that happen. But look, we're still sort of two windows away, you know, given the end of this, 2 weeks of this window, and obviously January as well. Albeit I know Palace don't like to spend big in January anyway. But yeah, that would be the dream, bruv. That would be the optimist in me would see Palace finishing in those positions, qualifying for a Europa League place, us going to Greece or Romania or Belarus or Finland or Estonia on a Thursday night.
Denmark.
Well, obviously Denmark, yeah. We can go to Denmark and play Lyngby or FC Nordsjælland or someone like that. That would be brilliant. But yeah, let's see what happens. But that would be my mate, dream rather than prediction.
To be fair, I think if you spoke to Palace fans of a certain age, I'm going to say 30 plus, maybe 35 plus, I think they'd agree with that being an absolutely fantastic season. I think, you know, I'd like to think that we're not a million miles away from that. I think that based on us holding on to the key players over the next few weeks, based on us being lucky with injuries, because let's not forget that comes into it. It's all well and good having four star players, but if those four star players get injured, as we found previously with Palace, we talked about Wilf in the first half of this pod, you know, with those reliances that we do have on those players, that does place an emphasis on them, and it does mean that your ambitions have to be scaled appropriately. But
and also Glasner's style of play, you know, a bit more sort of pressing and a bit more attacking and very, very, very sort of mobile, I think you're likely to pick up more injuries as well.
It's a fair point. And I think we saw towards the end of last season that it's very much geared about getting into that final third. And you know, it's interesting because we saw a real dynamic change between Vieira and Roy when Roy and Ray took back over, which wasn't it 15 shots in that first game when they took over? And actually that's what Palace were missing. It was that confidence, the ability, whatever it was, that approval to go ahead and take those shots. And Glasner's kind of taken it to another level in terms of how we attack. He's had the Muniz effect and the Walton effect to do that. And we haven't mentioned Walton actually, but he's another key player that Palace, you know, I think are likely to hang on to now. It's probably too early for him to depart in his time at Palace, but...
Well, that comes into one of our questions from our listeners, bruv, that we'll come to later as well.
Go on. You can't say that and not mention it. Who's written about Walton?
I think it was Simon Crispin, who's one of our long-time listeners and question askers in the pod. And Simon, thank you for always writing. I know we don't always ask your questions, and thank you for your constant DMs. But
you always forget.
Well, I do, to be fair. But Simon, we still love you, and thank you for your support, and appreciate all the likes and retweets on Six Pointer Podcast at Six Pointer Podcast on Instagram and Twitter or X. But he's asked, who do we think will be Palace's young player of the season? And I'm going to go a bit further now. I think Adam Walton will be the Premier League young player of the season next season.
Shout out. I think if he gets an injury-free season and run at it, why not? Yeah. Why not? I mean, he made a ridiculous start. I mean, the fact that he got into the Euro squad was ridiculous. And the fact that many people who actually are not Palace fans were saying to me, Walton should get a go, he's the difference. The fact that Southgate said that
England have lacked a player like him for 10 years. To be fair, the Euros probably came a season too quick for him.
Well, all good experience from that, bro, to be around that scenario and be in the county, albeit he didn't get any minutes, but, you know, to be experienced, soaking up like a sponge, that experience from those sort of players, you know, to be sharing the same sort of training pitch with Harry Kane and Mark Gay, Dean Henderson, you know, Ebuchereze, you know, these world-class players, you know. But, you know, it's fantastic experience for him, and he does that week in, week out as well.
Hey, I watched back, I think Palace did a thing on YouTube with him. It's about 10 minutes long.
Yeah. Brilliant.
And I wouldn't normally watch that sort of stuff. I'd normally switch off. But, like, his ability to read the... what was the first game he played? No, at home. Oh, after home. He started, didn't he? He started the home game.
I don't know. Yeah.
But I remember we turned to one another and said, like, he is that special. Like, the way he reads the game, the way he's just like he reads the game and then he gets a touch that is a single touch onto someone that is like a deft touch that no one can get anywhere near. And it really is something to behold, that ability to see the game and the way he does. So I think your shout, and to Simon's question, I think he could well be the young player of Palace, but also, like you say, bruv, the Premier League young player. Why not?
Maybe we'll do a few more questions as well. Maybe I should actually look in my DMs and ask a few more. Ask a few more questions. What, now?
Yeah.
Oh,
on a roll.
Okay.
Tom McDonald, he must have read it, and he loves a question.
Tom's actually messaged me on WhatsApp directly.
This morning.
Probably. Probably. Still hates Sonny Alivala. But, yeah, Tom's asked, who do we think will be Crystal Palace's top goal scorer of the season, and who will be Crystal Palace's player of the year? So two questions there, Tom. We can have one, or we go two. I don't know. It's up to you.
Let's do both of them. Top goal scorer, you can't look any further than John Philip Mateta. He is the...
He carries on the way he is, yeah.
The corner kick terroriser. I think, you know, why not? Because he hasn't held off in the Olympics, has he? He's carried on his form. I mean, obviously it was lovely watching the final the other night, and just like the commentators absolutely reveling in how on form he is and how he's kind of come from where he was, where, you know, he was a bit of a laughing stock really at Palace. And, you know, there were people who would say that, oh, he's never going to come good and so on and so forth, and he turned a corner. He did, and I think there's definitely a confidence element to it. I remember watching something, I think it was on the Palace YouTube account or the Palace video thing they offer, and there was Wilf getting very frustrated with Mateta, and I think there was always recognition from the players around him that he was a very good player. It was just something wasn't quite ticking for him. And
probably confidence as well, wasn't it? With a striker, a young striker as well, that sort of confidence as well, which, as we've seen, as he gains that confidence, he's gone from a player that, you and I have both said this, towards the start of his Palace career, when he was through on goal, it was almost like he had too much time to think and mess the situation up. Whereas now, he's acting more on instinct. And that last game in the season when he played
against Villa,
and when he was through on goal a couple of times, like, I'd never been more confident that player was going to score.
Yeah. And like we also joked that things would come off his bum, his left tricep and so on and so forth, but like it was coming off and it was all going for him. But yes, there's an element of a joke in there, but also there's an element of he's put his body in a position to reflect the ball in that way. Long may it continue. So I think there's no reason why he can't continue that. Second quite a question was what player of the season.
So we've got with a top goal scorer of the season, so you're going with JP.
Who are you going with? Can't say Adam Walters again.
I'm going for Eze. Eze to get 14 goals this season.
Mate.
That's what I'm going for.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
It would be. But yeah, next one was a player of the season. Not young player of the season, player of the season for Crystal Palace.
Mounez.
Yeah, that's what I was going for as well. It was going to be Mounez or Kamada. Because I think Kamada's got the ability to be a fan favourite.
That's a shout. Yeah. That's a really good shout, yeah. I say Mounez.
Both of them with good work rates.
Yeah. I say Mounez because of the way he gets forward as well as the way he defends, the kind of the energy and drive he's got in him and the ambition he has to just get the ball, like regardless of the situation he's in. the sort of the never say die attitude. So fan favourite, absolutely. And I think a full season injury free will be really positive. You mentioned Walton on the sort of young player. You can see him getting that as well in a shout. And obviously, you know, we don't know what Saar's going to produce. You mentioned Kamada, but also Saar. And, you know, if he chips in with enough goals and assists and that kind of thing, you know, Palace fans love a trier.
Yeah.
So anyone who's going to put the work rate in and going to really go for it is going to be up there.
Like James Vaughan. But I mean, Muniz, I'd be very surprised if he doesn't get 5 goals this season. Simply because his ability to get in those positions, simply because that's where he gets in. You know, obviously he runs down the wing and he cuts inside, delivers balls, but I think the balls that come back out to him, that's one of our predictions. I think Muniz will get at least 5 goals this season.
What did he get in the second half? He got one goal.
He didn't score.
He didn't score.
No, not yet to score his first goal for Crystal Palace. He might have scored in pre-season.
I thought he scored a... No, Everton away didn't score. No. Is that his debut, Everton away?
Possibly. But no, he hasn't scored yet in the red and blue or the eagle yellow. Which also, by the way, I must say, on the BBS earlier, I saw someone who's ordered one of those from DHgate. And it's actually a lot nicer than I thought it would be. It's not so yellow because I like the big eagle is in white across it, which is actually quite nicer. But I do believe we are expected a third kit to come out soon. Probably
really?
Be black.
Eagle
sash? Yeah, well, black, I think. Black, the stripes down the middle is the rumours that have been heard as well. So we'll see what happens there. But not that I expect it to be used very much because you've got a very dark home kit, a very light home kit in the yellow. So I don't really see the point of a third kit apart from if it's going to be used for selling it. Although I think there are some rules around you have to wear it a certain number of times to be able to sell it. So
Well,
we'll see. But
club competitions count in that respect.
I think so, but competitive games. So yeah, but
the third
kit will be interesting. Now, what I've heard, it's going to be a black kit with a red and blue stripe down the middle, with the same sort of style as the home. So the eagle motif.
Okay.
So that might be quite interesting to see how that comes. But because obviously Palace's black kits have always been very popular in the past.
Yeah.
I am wearing a black kit of my own of a Espia, but. Yeah.
Do you know when I think of when I think of a black kit, I think of the evil sash.
Yeah.
When I think of Shamak.
Yeah.
With a gack on the side, I've got that somewhere at home.
Jose Campagna.
Oh mate, what a shout out! That's the first Premier League season, isn't it?
It was.
Wasn't that Liverpool away on the way back? We met him. I met Shamak and Akebe in Costa Coffee at the station.
Jesus.
Jimmy
Akebe.
They was having a muffin and a coffee and a hot chocolate. No, the other one I think of was the TDK one. You remember the promotion season with a black kit that year? That's the one. I think that's pretty rare now.
Yes, I have seen it.
You remember that one?
You know what? I saw that on eBay. Go for 125 quid.
The other one I think of is a Premier League one. It's a goalkeeper one, like Nigel Martin.
Yeah, that's nice. A simple kit. And you're seeing a little more... Sorry, I'm going to my foot kit nerd sort of territory here. But you are seeing a lot more sort of simple sort of retro kits coming back these days, which is quite nice to see. But very interesting to see the Palace third kit.
There was an article, I think it was on the BBC website, about kits this year. Who's got the best kit, this, that. And it was, like you say, the ones that I liked the most were the more plain ones. Yeah. Like you said, I think Palace have gone... quite sort of trendy, haven't they? They've gone on trend with regards to the eagles blending in. Obviously, the agreement with means that they can do that, and other kits will be like template kits, whatever you call them. But I think you have seen a more edgy side to Palace in that respect, and I think that's very clever marketing, isn't it? Because it's appealing to the younger fan.
Yeah.
Having said that, I have got the home shirt, I know you have as well, and I think it's quite nice. When I saw it first, I thought it was quite garish, but actually, it's quite nice. So yeah, looking forward to seeing the yellow one in action.
Not a big fan of the collar, I must admit, on the home kit, but I must admit, I do like some of the training wear, but Jesus Christ, like there's a black or navy t-shirt, just a plain t-shirt with a Macron and a Palace badge in it, and another one who's got like a teal in it as well. 40 quid for a t-shirt, outrageous. Come on, Palace. This there was an article earlier that you and I were talking about on BBC News, and it was also on Footy Headlines a couple of days ago around Sheffield Wednesday trying to ban people from wearing these counterfeit kits in their stadiums, or ask them to leave the stadium, whatever it is. But the answer there surely is don't charge £50 or £60 for a shirt. You know, right, when someone can get it for 12 quid, why? And also, when you look at the quality of it and how it's made, it's not worth £65. The markup is incredible, and people, football clubs, and Palace included, are sort of. I mean, you've got to look back to the Euros as well this season, in the summer, when the England away kit and home kit was £95 if you wanted to buy it. £120 if you wanted the player fit version. Outrageous pricing, especially where we're going at the moment with the cost of living crisis and things in this country. I appreciate things are getting better, but people haven't got that sort of disposable income to be spending on a shirt they're going to wear, you know, a handful of times a year. So to Sheffield Wednesday, I'd say to you, if you're listening, which you are, I know you are, have a think about your own pricing before you you start trying to chuck fans out for wearing counterfeit goods.
I get where they're getting at with it, but I think, like you say, it's maybe misplaced.
Yeah.
I think
read the room.
40 quid though for a training kit. It's a shame, isn't it?
It's
really
not even a training kit, brother. It's just a travel t-shirt.
Oh, right.
The training kit, I haven't even looked at. I'm sure it's even worse. But yeah. Anyway, that's by the by.
But like we said though, with Palace sort of being more grounded in the community and recognising kind of with the kits and that kind of thing, that is the kind of thing you'd hope they get right. I mean, one of the other things I'm hoping Palace get right, looking forward to it, and you're probably going to tell me there's no progress on it, but is the where we sit at the back of Homestead. Obviously the row behind us has had the safe seating bar for some time. Is there any progress on that, do we know?
So I understand that was a trial that was put in place. I've not heard any more about it. I did hear rumours about a year ago or so that when they were to start building the main stand, that's when they would roll out the safe standing throughout the Homesdale as well. Personally, I'm all for it because, you know, it gives me a bar to lean on, which would be nice. Stops the balance challenged people around us from jumping all over us. But no, I don't think there's any more progress. I expect it to happen with the whole sort of redevelopment of the stadium as well.
Very good. Any other questions before we wrap up?
There were a few about transfers I think we covered already, and thanks to the people that have written in. As Matthew said earlier, he did call me out and said that I don't often ask these questions, so I appreciate your listening in contacting us. I do try to respond and communicate with people and really do appreciate people getting in touch. Most people are saying, when are you coming back and when are you doing the podcast? We don't do it that regularly.
You've done a few Danish ones though.
Yeah, but I don't think there's many Palace fans interested in Danish football.
They see that and switch off. No, but I must be honest with you, we just get carried away and have a chat about the Palace stuff and don't look at the accounts. But at Six Pointer Podcast on Instagram, and we're going to call it Twitter, aren't we?
Twitter,
I don't like
X.
Yeah, Twitter. Yeah, you could drop us a line on there. As Luke said, thank you very much for everyone who has got in touch. Please do keep getting in touch with your suggestions, ideas. I know we had a few people ask previously last season about merchandise, if that's coming back or not. I don't think it is, because literally we produce a number of t-shirts. I think they went to a number of people in Denmark, mainly over drink-fueled evenings. A few of you got hold of them and have been wearing them, and thank you very much for sending the photos in.
It's nice to see, isn't it, the old Six Pointer Podcast out and about. It's very nice to see you, but maybe we need to up the production quality for the next round.
Maybe you offer suggestions on what merchandise you'd like. You know, do you want mugs, do you want hats? Winter's coming.
Can we please stop asking for Kev's face on merchandise, please?
Especially
nobody wants to see that. I'm sorry Kev, you're a very beautiful man, but I do not want your face on my balls.
On that note, let's leave it there. Thank you to the Alfred for hosting us, and the Dolphin. Alfred Guinness is fantastic, I must say.
Consistently good.
We're going to watch a bit of Preston, North End, and Sheffield United
well,
now.
I'm going to see if they can change it over to Bromley AC Wimbledon, because I've watched that.
But yeah, enjoy the new season. Enjoy the first game of the season at Brentford on Sunday. We are going to do a post match, are we? On Sunday?
Why not? We'll do one. So get your questions in. Post-match, pre-match, this do one on Sunday. Let's get the community involved. Up the six-pointer.
Up the six-pointer. And as always, up the Palace.
The Six Pointer Podcast.